Hey there, welcome to the League Life with Brooksy and Shanaz. We call it the lockdown life because we are living a life that is locked down. My name's Shanaz. I'm here with Brooksy, who's typing on the other end when he shouldn't be. Brooksy, how you going, my friend?
I'm great, mate. How are you? What a week has already been. A beautiful day today in Sydney for a Tuesday morning.
It is nice. It is nice. Now, you got to...
You've been busy, mate.
Yeah, working from home and... Got a little person, a little person in my life, and
a little person. Where'd you get the little person from?
One night in Las Vegas, actually. Now, Brooksy,
yes.
What about Lara Bingle's mum,
Shazza? How is Shazza going? Sounds like she's not doing too well.
Well,
unacceptable living quarters.
She's staying at the Urban in Newtown, which I know very well because I've stayed there a few nights on a few occasions.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say it's a 4-star. It's not a 5-star. It's a 4-star in certain parts of the hotel. And I've never once had a complaint there. And I'm a little surprised to see that the Worthington lady from the Shire is complaining on behalf of her mum.
I'm having a look at the photos here, Shanaz. It looks a bit rustic. It's not...
It's rustic,
Four stars is probably a stretch. But, it's interesting. Like, yeah, it's funny because you see this concrete slab-like roof photo there, but I'm sure that's all the rage in Newtown.
It is.
I don't know. Like, you're more of a Newtown person than me. Like my leafy streets of the east and the salt air of the northern beaches, but I think this is kind of hipstery. I don't know.
Yeah, so it's built on the old Newtown RSL location, right down Newtown Station. It's a really great location, and right next to the Midnight Special, by the way. And it's okay. Very if it's close. Not 4 stars, it's 3.8. like, there's nothing wrong with it, put it that way, even for someone who's used to richer conditions, shall we say. Anyway, I was surprised by that. Brooksy, you've had a haircut.
I had a trim. I put a photo up on my socials the other day of how, like, I was sitting next to my Kramer poster in my living room and the resemblance was uncanny, Shanaz. And it was the inspiration to get a trim.
Now, it's funny you say that because last night I saw one of my favorite episodes, The Apartment. And at the start, is when he's mooshed up.
Oh, yeah.
And he looks exactly like you.
Oh, thanks.
Like, I saw it, but that's Brooksy.
Yeah, people say I give off a bit of Kramer vibes, the way I act and the way I look, the curly hair, but...
Definitely the way you
are. Yeah, definitely an inspiration in life. I live by myself. I steal milk and Snapple from my neighbour across the way.
I feel like...
I slide in through the door.
I feel like I cut you off before and you were very angry at me.
Yeah. Yeah, I was sort of getting into the Lara Bingle story, Shanaz. Let's go back. I haven't really heard too much of Lara and her parents before, but...
Let's do it. Cruising.
What about was she on a cruise ship?
Let's just say she
was.
Is
that why she's been in lockdown?
Let's just say she was.
So we don't know for sure if she was on the Princess Mary or whatever it was.
But if she was, what would you think?
You're setting me up here. You know how much I hate cruise ships. I've never been on one. I know...
you've got a really, really strong... educational opinion on this, having not been on one.
I've lived around the harbour for the last few years, and you just see them come in, and you just go, "Nah, no way." And no one should get off. Don't let them off. Why are we letting them off? And you know what? This whole recent story has just solidified my, I guess, stance into cruise ships. Like, I saw this really funny Bill Burr stand up. Well, it's funny and it's a bit dark, but. He was like, you know, with the population problems, we could really start with just bombing cruise ships. And I was like, oh, Bill, that's a bit rough. And that's then I was extreme. Like, oh, wait a second. There is a lot going around the ocean. Hey, Shaz, they're not helping the environment, are they?
Look, what you're saying is...
Dumping feces into the ocean and, like, like paying minimum wage for staff. Like it's a disgusting industry. I'm sorry. It's just, there's bainries, there's disease everywhere. There's been really bad stories on the high seas of the Pacific. It's something we could all do without. Send us in tweets, messages, what your thoughts of the cruise ship industry are. At Shinazzy Footy is a good one. He can respond to all your responses. But yeah, I'm off it. I'm sorry. I've probably alienated half our listeners, so all 14 of you. I'm sorry, but yeah, I'm not surprised that's where a good chunk of our coronavirus infectees have come off a cruise ship.
So what you're saying is, keep them on the cruise ship and just keep sailing away, so to speak. Don't let
them off. If they're not happy with this accommodation, get back on your boat and go back out in the ocean until it all rides out and see how good that is. Your little balcony, seriously, Shaz.
Are you telling me that...
I'm not surprised they're complaining.
Are you telling me that the people working in the fake casinos on the cruise ship are on minimum wage?
I've heard stories and I've seen documentaries. John Oliver and Hassan Minhaj have done good eye-opening stories on the industry.
Right.
Both, I think, mainly in the Caribbean. But yeah, it's dodgy. It's dodgy as. And but I want to segue to something that involves gambling on the seas. Ozark season 3, Schnatz.
Yes.
You're finished done? It last night, did finished? It in 4 nights. Yeah, I finished it. It was sensational.
No spoilers?
I'm not going to tell any stories.
Okay.
I reckon best season I've seen over the past few years of any show.
Ooh.
Suspense is great, builds nicely, great performances. Like I said last time when we were chatting about the show.
Okay.
Bateman and Linney are just superstars. Oh. The cameos in it. It's just brilliant. Like the acting's so good. Ruth, who's one of the local girls in the show, like her character's just brilliant. Comes out with some amazing one-liners. It's a great watch. If people haven't watched from season one, it's something in this lockdown life that you can just settle in. It's a slow build. It's great. I feel sorry for people that have started Tiger King before it, because it's going to pale in comparison to the show if they spend enough time and watch it.
Now, before we get into rugby league, which is our bread and butter, and we will get there really soon, we promise. Brooksy, 30 for 30s, did you watch the Michael Vick docos?
I haven't seen it yet. I haven't seen the Michael Vick one. So yeah, I'm really intrigued too.
I'm halfway through. I think there's two-hour ones. I'm not sure if there might be a third one. I'm not sure. But basically, the first two-hour episode is finished, and it's getting down to the most controversial part of his career.
The dog fighting.
The dog fighting. So Michael Vick, if you don't know, was a genre-defining... genre changing quarterback in the NFL, African American, southpaw, correct, Brooksy? Left handed? Am I making that up?
Let's say for people that know the NFL, yeah, he was left handed. Yep. For people that know the NFL now that aren't too across it from previous decades, he's pretty much Lamar Jackson back then. Like, he revolutionized the running game from the quarterback perspective.
Incredible.
He was just an athlete, and Atlanta's fortunes just turned overnight drafting Vic.
So he was the first
Virginia Tech, I think he was. I remember when he was in college watching Sports Center back in the day with the great late Stuart Scott. Booyah!
Yep.
There was a lot of good commentary from his college highlights. He was just an absolute superstar at college. Like, you could tell it was going to translate to NFL. And yeah, I'm actually looking forward to seeing this documentary. Tell me a bit more about it, mate.
So you're going to love it, because there's lots and lots of footage of him at Virginia Tech. And it's him looking back on his life. And it's been a very interesting life. But yeah, he was the number one... the first ever African-American number one pick in the NFL draft. And obviously life-changing. and they go through all that, and they build it up to how he gets into the more controversial parts of his life with some bad eggs around him. And you can see the slow build. It's like, oh, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. And there is ultimately a happier ending to the story, which I have yet to watch, but I know about. So it's a story about redemption. It's just, fascinating. We always say it. They could do an ESPN on paint drying and it would be beautiful and cinematic, and this is no different. But definitely, if you like good stories, this is a great one, the Michael Vick story on ESPN's 30 for 30. But Brooksy, let's get into the National Rugby League. Tell me things. What's going on?
Well, we've had a few things come up in the past few days, Shanaz, since we've done our previous podcast. So what we found out is there's a survival package for the NRL team. So the NRL will be giving the clubs $40 million over the next month, which will mean each team will receive about $2.5 grand. There's been a few other things that have been brought to light in terms of $2.5 million. Yeah, $2.5 grand. What would you do? If you were a club, Shanaz, with $2.5 grand, what would you do?
I'd give it straight to Gary Dover.
Spend it on?
Gary Dover in the media department of Sharks, yep.
So do you reckon he can turn that $2.5 grand into $2.5 mil?
I think Gary can do anything he puts his mind to.
Anyway, that was a nice diversion from a mistake. The NRL, some stats about their plan. They're going to reduce operating costs by 53%. There's going to be a 95% reduction in staffing levels during the shutdown period. So skeleton staff and still missing some bones there by the look of it, Shanaz. That's pretty thin.
Yeah, it is.
And a 25% pay cut for executive salary. So it's, I don't know. I saw Volandis on Fox League Live yesterday, and he, again, came across pretty impressive in terms of what the NRL need to do to help get the league back up and running. Like, we've seen some articles out there about the relationship with the RLPA and what's going on in the negotiations at the moment. Sounds pretty good. Like, transparency's been the buzzword this week. Unprecedented was last week. This week it's transparency. By the look of the requests that the the RLPA have put forward, like, Volandis was ticking a good chunk of them off. Like, going, yep, we'll accept that. Yep, no problems at all. Like, it seems pretty positive. What's going on?
Yeah, on one of the episodes I saw of Fox League Live, they had him on, and it should also be said he's been really, well, transparent, but also available for the media, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
Especially in these times where a lot of people are worried and concerned about the competition. He read out I think Paul Cantor, one of the guys at Fox, read out the demands.
Dan Ganane. Yeah.
Read out the demands, and Volandis answered them yes, no, maybe, just off the top of his head. And they seemed like,
agreed. Yeah. Agreed. Welcome it. Agreed.
Yeah. And it seemed very honest.
Like, it was very positive. Yeah.
And they're not answers that you're going to hold him down to, because, you know, he's just saying what he thinks will happen. He wasn't guaranteeing anything at all. But, you know, when you hear players and player associations demanding things, everyone sort of goes, whoa, we've been through this. This is a bit heavy. But the things they were demanding, they didn't seem too unreasonable to me. And particularly in this day and age where everybody, including players, are worried about their next paycheck, a lot of it seemed quite valid. And it's all about how you address things. Like, I think that they're doing it the right way through the association. I don't want to see one more interview with one more player, even if they're prompted, talking about incomes and what they should be getting and what they are getting. And I know, you know, for example, Fox League Live, they have, what, 5 or 6 players on a day usually. And the question will sometimes come around to, hey, Wade Graham, you know, what do you think about this? What do you think about player cuts? But I'm happy for the association just to address it, because it's more professional. Yeah. It's one voice. And for all the people struggling out there, they don't really want to hear about players doing it tough.
Well, the thing too, like, whenever there's a negotiation in terms of finances too, like, having the NRL be open with what's coming into the organisation is key. Like, if you hold that back, then the RLPA is going to assume what's being made. They see, you know, Todd and Peter Volandis flashing around in cars and whatnot. They see reports in papers saying that they're potentially on this sort of money and getting these sort of kickbacks. If it's all open, the negotiation process is going to be very smooth. And that's the thing I think is key going forward, that we need to get to agree so the players can get out on the field and play. It's going to totally change the environment, the NRL rugby league environment, after this is all said and done, Shaz. And having it open and having Volandis and Greenberg and Newton there discussing how to take the league forward in 2020, 2021, it's important. You see some of the things that the demands of the RLPA are quite interesting. One in particular, Shaz, the RLPA wants direct involvement with the broadcasters for the broadcast deal and also the scheduling of games. So that's gonna open a few things. I'm intrigued to see what the players want in terms of the broadcast deal, like what's going to benefit them. And yeah, I also, the schedule is going to be a good one too, Shaz.
What do you think that means? Does that mean, Brooksy, they want to have like less five-day turnarounds? Does that mean they want to have a say on how many rounds there are? What are your thoughts?
Well, that's what I was getting at. Like, it's going to be something that's probably it's all good. No. It's going to be something that's probably going to benefit the players more. We've seen in other sports, in the NBA, for instance, like they have an 82-game schedule over about a 5-6 month period. So you're seeing teams that are on back-to-back games. Teams are resting players. They're very much trying to manage the load of the players throughout the season. Not saying that would happen in NRL because it is more of a game a week sort of thing, but we want to see the best players out there. We don't want to see as many injuries on the field. We want to see the best teams winning and being able to put out as many players as possible. We don't want, and that's great. And that's good for the broadcast deal too, because then all the games are going to be good. We're not going to be missing, as many players as what we could do if the schedule was as tight as what it would be. But from the players' perspective, I like that. And in the benefits of that is having a good product for the viewers at home.
Now, I've often, especially on this podcast, said what my dream scenario is for a season. What's your dream scenario next year, when everything's normal, there's no corona, there's no tornadoes, there's no earthquakes, there's no bushfires? What is your ideal amount of games played or rounds played per year and final setup, Origin, whatever? Just give it to me now, Brooksy.
Geez, off the top of my head, like trying to think as you were asking me the question, I like the idea of teams being split up into two sort of sections to promote more rivalry. So
yeah,
I wouldn't want it done based on the previous year's schedule. I just want to see certain teams play each other twice each year, home and away.
Okay.
So I'd like probably a Sydney conference and then an outside Sydney conference. So the Sydney teams would play each other twice. You play the other conference once. So I think off the top of my head, that would be you play each other once, 15, plus your conference again, which is 7. So 22 rounds, 22 games for the teams.
Okay.
Obviously, 3 origins. I'd want the origins on weekends, so they'd be standalone weekends. So that's 25 weeks. I don't mind, which is something that's been tossed up, the wild card weekend. So that would be week 26. So 7v10, 8v9, and then a four week final series, as per how we've got it at the moment. 1v4, 2v3, 5v8, 6v7. Winner of 1v4.
Thanks, Brooksy. We're talking maybe a couple of weeks shorter, maybe, than what we have now.
A rep round as well. Definitely a rep round as well. I think that's been something that we need to look at, because I think we've got to look at it holistically in terms of the game as well. Like at the moment, yeah, we've got to look after the NRL, but we've got to look after the Pacific nations as well. They're starting to increase in terms of numbers in the NRL. Pacific Islander background, and that's key. We've got to build those rivalries just as much as we've got to build the NRL rivalries. So I'm all for Samoa, Tonga, Fiji, PNG, Australia, New Zealand, getting even England and Ireland and Scotland and France can play their games on that same week on the other side of the world. Just have a great week. Yeah, maybe take a game to Hawaii. I don't know. Like I love the idea of that. I don't see it changing too much, but yeah, that would be my sort of thing, Schnaz. Just two different conferences, but you know, have the same table that we've had, or yep. Like you get it. You don't have like the top four from each conference. But you want South and the Roosters playing twice, Dragons, Sharks, you know, that Sydney sort of build that Sydney rivalry up even more if we're going to keep having these Sydney, these eight, nine Sydney teams in the league.
And do you think that there's any sense in just playing the NRL straight through and then having rep round, origin, everything else at the end of the season?
It's tough. It's a real tough one, Schnaz. I'm not 100% a traditionalist. Like I like to do things and change things up all the time. Like whatever it is, you know, to try and work out what could be better or what works, what doesn't. I think I like Origin being on Sundays. I really enjoy it. I know maybe we can start Origin on a Wednesday and then two standalone weekends. Or do it the opposite, like the first two on Sundays, the last one on Wednesdays, like that. I can't see that shifting the postseason. It's going to be hard for a player to get up after a final series for an Origin.
Yeah,
I just find it, and to think like there's only going to be one team that wins a grand final. Yes, there'll be a few of those players in the Origin side, but yeah, I just like how it is.
I just think it's so...
I don't really want it to change other than the day.
It's so unprofessional the way that the competition gets disrupted. And I know that there's the argument that, well, the lesser teams with the lesser good players get their shot at making their run to the finals and everything. But I just think it's just super unfair to everyone, to be completely frank.
But what do you think... Like, it's not the same, but what do you think of the Pro Bowl in the NFL? When they get the best... Well, you know, somewhat the best players together at the end of the season, they go to Hawaii or Orlando, I think it is now.
That's a bad example because they don't take the game seriously.
Yeah, but is that why it's not taken seriously? Because the season's done and they played this game? Would Origin be taken as seriously if it was...
I'm of the belief it's not taken as seriously because they don't... The franchises don't want their players taking big hits and being injured. That's what I think.
Yeah.
I don't think it's got anything to do
So do you think that mentality is going to happen post-season with teams go... Like, they've already got to do... Let's say they do the international schedule as well, Schnaz. So they've got internationals, origins, post-NRL, post... Or in between NRL and Super League. So what happens? Do we lose a bit of that origin aura because the season's done? I think... We get a lot of the money and we get a lot of the interest in Origin because the season's bubbling along. We're in the middle of the season. Teams are still alive in their season. Did I say season about nine times then? Season, felt like I did.
Season. I think that's definitely correct. But when you said that, I also had a vision of everyone being so over that grind of the first 12 NRL weeks. It's like, here comes Origin. Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, I've stated it many times. I'm not a huge Origin guy. I like the spectacle. I like the idea of the best of the best. I just don't like what it does to the competition. There's probably no right answer, so I probably shouldn't even have asked you. Nathan, I'm hearing that. Oh, by the way, your name is Nathan. People who don't know Brooksy's first name, it's Nathan. Big reveal on the show. Nathan, I'm hearing that the women's competition is in disarray like most of the other competitions around the world, with the Roosters and the Warriors pulling the pin on their team this year.
Yeah, so that means that the competition will only go down to two teams, Schnaz, the Broncos and the Dragons. It's disappointing news. The league was just growing. There was talk of it being a home and away series this year, which it hasn't been the first two seasons. So we're looking at six games leading into a final. It's just really disappointing. The past 2 years, the game's grown. We've seen some good origin matches. We've seen some good talent come out of not only the NRLW, but the lower tier levels, the national championships and the Harvey Norman premiership that like Cronulla Caringbah and South Sydney and North Sydney play in.
Yep.
I guess when you see, I think it costs a team $500,000 to operate an NRLW team over the course of a season. it's just money that these teams just don't have. And and you can understand where the Warriors are coming from, being a team that's based over in New Zealand, flying over those extra games. It was going to be a home and away series, but it's just really disappointing, mate. And getting to know some of the players over the last few years, absolute legends. They're really good people. Like, you saw Sam Bremner's speech during the Perth Nines, how they were just appreciative of playing in the tournament. And they just loved being there. They took it really professionally. They actually put on some really good footy over there, finally dethroned the Broncos, who'd won the previous two NRLW premierships. It's just sad to see that we won't be potentially seeing an NRLW season this year.
Yeah, there were massive inroads made from both a business and playing point of view in the past year with the competitions that the women represented, and it's a massive shame. It's a step back. I'm sort of the belief that they can make that ground up next year should everything be normal as it was last year, because the product was good. Yep. The players super professional, the media really behind it. So hopefully we can get back to that point in this crazy world we're living in. Maybe there'll be more teams by then. I'm not sure. Maybe that'll give enough buffer to maybe make it a bigger competition, hopefully.
Yeah, the disappointing thing too, like seeing the Roosters pull out, like you had teams like South and Cronulla, Schnaz, that were keen, you know the Sharkies were keen.
Yeah.
And they were playing games against the Dragons a few years ago, a Nines game and an actual 13-a-side game. Like it's just sad to see, because we talked about the Sharkies' financial situation as well. Maybe they would have been able to put a team in this year if it got to the stage where a league was up and running. But yeah, it's hard. So like, yeah, I'm disappointed. I worked on a bit of it too the last few years, and it was fun doing it, fun promoting the league. And like I said, got to meet a few of the players and coaching staff as well. Daniel Lacey's come out and said like he wants to see the competition still go, because there's so many people that it affects by not having that competition running.
Yeah, I mean, I got to work on a few games too, and when you watch it really closely, it is a really very competitive performance that these people put in, and you could just see there were superstars coming out of that competition, being put on a pedestal, and rightfully so, being placed in the media through different networks, and hopefully next year they can keep building on that. And this year is just, I don't know what this year is, to be honest, in all walks of life. But Brooksy,
yeah, exactly,
getting a bit more positive. The place where we work, Fox Sports, they have a Fox League channel which is still up and very much alive and quite vibrant. And it reminds me, actually, before we go on, last night, Schnaz, emotional at the best of times, depending on who you ask, brought to tears by the stories from one...
Tears, yeah.
Happy tears. Michael Ennis, old Clapper himself. You know, on League Life Live especially, there's room for stories to be told. There's room there in between the interviews and the ad placements, etc., for the talent to tell their really great stories. And last night, Mick Ennis took us on a 20-minute story about the 2016. Oh, by the way, I think your microwave's ready or something behind there, Brooksy.
That was my phone. Sorry.
2016 Michael Ennis Cronulla Sharks story. Stories that even myself, the biggest Cronulla Sharks fan in the history of the world, had not heard. The way he told it was so beautiful and passionate. And I urge everyone to... I don't know if it's going to be replayed today, but seek it out however you can seek it out.
Because KO, it's on the socials.
It's on KO?
I was watching it, Schnaz, and I alerted you to it.
You did.
I thought it was going to be a bit of a tearjerker for all you Sharkies fans.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah, it was great going through each game, wasn't it? Like going through the Canberra game, going through the Cowboys game, going through the grand final, the lead-up, the post-match. Like, it was just great. And that's the sort of content that league fans want to see, like, particularly in these times. Like, see, go back, going over those games and reliving all those awesome memories that we have as fans.
I have to say, Mick put the club in a bit of strife when he was talking about the post-game celebration party. I was lucky enough, and I say that extremely seriously, lucky enough to be at the players function afterwards. And while it got a little bit busy and there were certain people in there, I thought, how'd you get in here, including myself? I don't remember the crowd bursting through, so I don't know if that was, if I missed that bit, or that was a story I'd never heard.
Shnaz, you were 14 shoeys deep by that stage. You wouldn't have known who was in the room.
Yeah.
Come on, that was 50 years worth of celebrating right there.
I remember it about 3 in the morning.
I'll give you a pass on that one.
3 in the morning, I remember Riccio appeared, and I was hugging him pretty forcibly. I also remember I was harassing...
302, Shnaz kicked out of the league's club.
Yeah. At about 4 o'clock, I was harassing the Shep, the assistant coach, who was also a school teacher of our mutual friend Brendan Woodbridge. And I was harassing him at 4 in the morning, not about the Sharks winning the comp, but about our fellow colleague. Anyway, you should be watching this show because it brings up amazing memories and stories. Moving forward, there's a new show of sorts called Fox League Classics. Is that right, Brooksy?
Fox League Classics Live. So
tell us.
Yeah, so our commentators going in, calling old classic games. There's been a few tossed up early on, but Shnaz, what would be some of the games that you would love called from Vossi, Dan Ganane, Woz, Brandy?
Yeah, well, the first one that comes to mind, for whatever reason, was the 98 finals game between the Eels and the Dogs at the SFS, which went for 114 years. And it includes the great Paul Carriage moment, which our
former Steelers great.
Was he really?
Yeah, he started at the Steelers.
Well, he finished at the Eels. No, I actually don't know where he finished, but boy oh boy, he stars in that game. But I would love to hear Vossi
for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah, I'd love to hear Vossi call that game because I reckon his mind would just blow up on air. And hopefully we'll get to that. We'll see. And yeah, from a personal point of view, my favorite game of all time, aside from the 2016 Grand Final and Final Series, is the 1989 playoff for fifth spot featuring Cronulla v Brisbane, a star-studded Brisbane, pretty much the Queensland Origin team at Parramatta Stadium on a Tuesday night. I'd love to hear any of the guys call that now. I don't know if I'll get my request through, but yeah. What about you? You must have a plethora.
Well, I've got a 1989 game as well, Shnaz. The Panasonic Cup, the midweek competition that existed back then. It was the final, the Steelers v the Broncos. It was the biggest game as a Steelers fan. I was 7. I remember watching it. I think it was a Wednesday night.
It would have been.
Stayed up late. The Steelers were getting thumped early, 16-0. But the little battlers we were back in the day, we came back. We ended up going down 22-20. It was just some of the highlights of my early Steelers fandom, watching UK imports Steve Hampson and Andy Gregory run out for us that year. It was the birth and the rise of the Spaghetti Brothers, Neil Pincinelli and Dean Scifoletti, saw Wishy, Brett Rodwell, like some of those, John Simon, like some of those guys starting to come through around that era. I don't think John Simon played in the game. There was Jeff Hardy. I remember Ian Russell. It was just a great Steelers era, and was the catalyst of the success that came in the next few years, which leads me to the other game I want to see, Shnaz, because it could be one of the greatest stitch-ups in Premiership history. Right. It's the major semi-final between 1992 between the Steelers and the Dragons. The Steelers and the Dragons playing for a spot in the grand final to play the Broncos. And Greg McCullough, man, must have been on the take pretty hard that game. 3 disallowed Steelers tries that were clearly tries. 2 to Brett Rodwell. Awesome short balls, offloads. Unfortunately, were brought back because of forward passes. And then the cherry on top was a late try to Alan McIndoe that was disallowed by an in-goal touch judge, Shnaz. An in-goal touch judge. Remember those?
I remember them
what
fondly.
Were they?
So what you're saying
thank goodness
is,
they went.
What you're saying, I now have it on record, is you're saying Greg McCallum was on the take either by the Dragons or the Rugby League Department, known as the ARL then?
New South Wales Rugby League. Okay. Yeah, it was just before the ARL.
And you're saying he was on the take?
Oh, mate, as the great Jeff Toovey once said, there needs to be an investigation. Somebody's got to be made accountable. Okay. This is such a fork in the road for the Steelers organization. We could have been in our only grand final. I'm sure they would have preferred a Brisbane St. George grand final over a Brisbane Illawarra final.
Brooksy.
And that's where, like, it was evident by the decisions that were made that day. I stand by it. I have no evidence whatsoever. But Greg McCullum, if you're listening, I'd really like to know what you were thinking disallowing those three Steelers tries. You absolutely tore the heart out of a region, a fan base, and it pretty much started the sign-off of the death of the Illawarra Steelers. So, on you, Greg. Hope you're well.
Now, you've just come across as one of those fools on social media. That's what you just sound like. Fools.
No, you've got to say, I'm going to tweet out the highlights of the game.
Well, what you need to do is...
You make your own perception on what happened.
You need to go talk to whoever's in programming. Is it Higo? I don't know who's in programming. And you need to get the game on air. I also want to see you do the presentation before and after. Get rid of Ennis or whoever else is lined up to do it. I want you to do it. And in fact, I want you to be the color commentator on it. And then you can be one of those people on social media now on pay TV.
No, it's all good. I don't need to call it. I saw it with my own eyes. I know exactly what went down. Right. I don't need to say anything.
Tweet it out, Brooksy.
In all honesty, I'm just having a laugh. It's it's pretty funny. But no,
you're having a laugh, but Skype, tears coming down your eyes.
It's very disappointing, like, to watch that back and go, what was he thinking? There were three clear tries. Like, God damn it. Like, we could have been in the grand final, which we would have probably lost 38-4 the next week. But we still would have been in the grand final, and we still might be around today.
So, Brooksy, that leads us into the subject matter for the next episode we're going to do, and that is the 25th anniversary of the start, more or less, of Super League.
Yeah, the war that really hammered the league. I think it's a good opportunity for us to have a chat, Schnaz, about rugby league, give people some insight that weren't around as league fans back then, where the league was sort of headed post the 1980s. Look at all the expansion, what led to Super League, the events of Super League. I think it's going to be really good. We can share some stories as fans in that era. Also stories of friends who had teams that were affected players, stories, all that sort of stuff. It'd be good to get people to write in some of their own recollections and memories from that era too. What do you think?
I think that's a great idea. So let's get everyone to write to us at League Life NRL. We're on all the social medias that you can think of.
Yeah.
Well, most of them anyway. And we want to hear about your experiences, your memories, your thoughts, and how you look back on it now, whether it's to do with your team or the competition and sport in general. And we're just going to have a bit of a chatter about it. We both lived through it, and a lot of things could have gone differently for different teams, which we'll talk about, including your beloved Steelers and my beloved Sharks, actually.
Yep.
So it's very personal to us. And it shaped the way that the media would cover the game as well. It changed a lot of things for a long time. Yep. It was a very bitter pill for people to try and swallow. So we're going to get into that. And
there was definitely some steps forward and steps back, right, Schnaz? So
yeah,
it's going to be interesting to see what we thought, and having a read up on some things and getting some opinions based on what went down. So yeah, it should be fun.
Yeah, we'll cover both the positives and negatives, which we try and do on this show. I think the world's coming to the end. You're telling me it's not, which is fantastic. Brooksy, I've got to go do some work because it's now about 8:45 and it's almost 9 o'clock for us to go back to the office. So I look forward to potting with you soon about the Super League. And thanks to everyone for listening. We really appreciate it. We see that you're listening, and we see your socials, and we really appreciate the kind words, and we hope that we're giving you some joy in these dark times that we're living in.
Yep.
You just yawned when I said that. I could see you yawning.
Oh, did I?
I hope that's not the basis of our audience. Yeah. Brooksy, I can't wait to catch up again.
Yeah, can't wait, mate. Should be a good one tomorrow.
All right. Take care until then, and I will see you later.
Marcus, bye for now.